The following program is paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395, and Washington CL number 81395 is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420, is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit AbsoluteLoans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, sponsored by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Now in the studio, local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome to The Money Hour on 570 KVI, the Sunday, September 29th show. I am your host, Tina Mitchell, and mortgage expert. Thank you for taking time to talk money. I'm here every Sunday at 11 a.m. right here on 570 KVI. My goal is to keep you up to date on the latest news and trends in our local economy, bringing in experts, expert advice, and inside knowledge on today's events in our local economy and how it'll affect your money. And just getting right into it, our lineup today, we've got some awesome guests in studio. First guest is Andy Landis, national known author, speaker, and consultant specializing in Social Security, Medicare, and retirement lifestyle planning, here today to share the mysteries of Social Security. Second guest in studio, we have Eric Herbel with Remax Professionals to give consumer tips on custom construction and home designing. And my last guest in studio today, Greg Nunn, certified public accountant, and he's actually my personal CPA. Excited to have him in studio to share with all my listeners on other mistakes. Have we learned from other people's mistakes on what not to do? That's kind of the key to life. And he's going to talk to us about mistakes that people make when it comes to your taxes. So you definitely will want to stay tuned for the entire show. Awesome guest, great information. And if you have any questions or would like to talk to any of my guests that are in studio today, please write down this phone number, 1-888-987-0570. Again, it's 1-888-987-0570. If you call into the show, you can talk with any of my guests in studio today, or you can reach us online at themoneyhour.com. Again, that's themoneyhour.com. And let's go ahead and start out with a little money chat. So what is happening today? Well, what I wanted to share is go over Case-Shiller Home Price Index was released for July and showed that home prices rose 1.8%. It also showed that homes appreciated by 12.4% on year-over-year basis. The report tracks closing prices in 20 major cities throughout the U.S. And although this clearly is a very strong report, it may overstate the health of the housing market a bit because many of the contracts signed have likely occurred during May and June. Overall, it's a great report, but we'll need to watch how these numbers shake out in the coming months. Now, Robert Shiller made some interesting comments on the status of the housing market and said that we could be seeing the beginning of a slowdown or a little bit of a bubble in certain areas. I don't think that we're going to see that in our area. We've got so much activity going on in the market, and the big challenge that people are having right now is really just the lack of inventory. There are so many people that want to be homeowners, and there's just not enough inventory to go around. Now, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, FHFA, House Price Index was reported showing that conforming mortgage home values increased by 1.0% in July and year over year. Values up 8.8%. This is a significant rise over the previous pace of appreciation, which was reported last month at 7.7%. The acceleration in year over year appreciation is noteworthy, as it contradicts the deceleration pace reported in Case-Shiller. Now, this is important because the media has already ignored all the positive information and is focusing on the deceleration in a few cities within the report. Initial job claims were reported at 305,000, much better than expected of 330,000 and 5,000 below last week's slightly revised figure. It's encouraging to see that the last week's figure was only revised 1,000 higher, even with the reporting issues in California and Nevada. With that issue now being resolved, we can assume that the figures from the past 2 weeks were indeed real and real claims and significantly improved. Now, claims in the 300 range would suggest that we should see some improvement in the ADP and jobs reports over next week. So what this really means in my arena, which those of you that listen to the show on a regular basis know that I'm an expert in the mortgage arena, and that's what I do as my full-time job, as I help clients get mortgage loans. What this means is positive information in the economy isn't so good for mortgage interest rates, because mortgage-backed securities are a type of bond and they follow what the bond market is doing. So when the bond market goes down, interest rates will increase. And that typically will happen when we hear positive economic news, because if you were investing and there's positive things going on in the economy, my question would be, would you be investing in bonds? Probably not. You'd be investing in the stock market for a much higher return. So that's what we see when we see the positive news. And I also just wanted to bring in, I'm going to add a little something new to the show every week and just answer one listener's question. So if you have a question that you want me to answer, if I can, because I can only pick one of them, but I promise you I will personally pick up the phone and talk with you or answer any questions that you have. But here's the question I want to answer today. How can I buy and still hold on to my home? Have you thought that? Right now, with the appreciation in our local real estate market is increasing. I think it's going to continue to increase. We may see a bubble come up in the next 5 or 6 years, but I think we've got a really strong market in our local economy. Plus, the fact that the cost of money to borrow is so inexpensive. It's almost the cheapest that it's been. Well, we've seen a little bit of increase in interest rates, but ultimately historical low rates. So why, if you were in a position that you could actually hold and buy, why would you sell and buy? Hold on to it. Take advantage of the increasing prices in property values that we might see over the next few years, as well as go buy your dream home or that move-up home or an investment home at really, really cheap prices. So here's some strategies to make that happen. Let's just say that you have higher income, but you don't have a down payment. So with higher income, what that allows you to do is be able to qualify with the bank for both mortgage payments. So as long as you can qualify for your current mortgage payment and you can qualify for your new mortgage payment, it doesn't matter if you don't have a down payment, because there are a lot of options with low down payment. Depending on what the situation is, you may qualify for a zero down payment, a 3.5% down payment, or maybe a 5% down. Now, that's if we're staying in conforming loan amounts. When you get into the jumbo, you've got to do a little more creative things. But so that's the first way you can hold and buy. What if you had lower income, but you had equity in your home? So the challenge with lower income is you can't qualify for both mortgage payments. But if you have equity in your income, you can hold and buy. Because with equity in your current property, you can potentially get a renter in that home and offset the qualification on that mortgage payment because of the equity in your home. Then you just need to qualify for one mortgage payment. You've got the cash for the down payment, so you'd be buying your other one. Actually, you wouldn't need cash for down payment in this scenario, because you could still do the minimum down payment. So you have equity, but you have no cash. That's okay, because you can go in and buy your new property as a primary residence, do a 0, 3.5, 5% down payment, and then get a renter and offset that mortgage payment. So here's another way. So you just need to ask yourself if you fall within one of these three scenarios. If you can't qualify for both mortgages and you don't have equity in your home, so you don't have the extra income to qualify and you don't have the equity in your home, what do you do? Well, if you've got cash, then you're okay. You can buy the second home as an investment property, which means you need to have a 20% down payment. That way you won't have to qualify for that new mortgage payment, because the bank is going to use 75% of whatever the potential rent that the appraiser says the market comes up with. So in this environment with interest rates being so low, usually with a 20% down payment, you can completely offset the qualifying for the new mortgage payment. So the issue is going to be if you don't have one of those three scenarios, then you're going to be forced to sell your current home in order to purchase your new one. Again, pick up the phone. Give my show a call, 1-888-987-0570. Call me, share your questions with me, and I will do everything I can to bring that question to studio, or at least bare minimum answer that question for you. Coming up next on the Money Hour, Social Security is America's largest source of retirement income, but Most of us have little or no idea how it works. And that's why I've invited my first guest in studio, Andy Landis, national known author, speaker, and consultant specializing in Social Security, Medicare, and retirement lifestyle planning in studio. Right here on 570 KVI after this short break.
Are you scratching your head trying to figure out how to afford retirement? Social Security and Medicare are essential, but they're a complete mystery to most people. Now, Andy Landis guides the way with his book, Social Security, The Inside Story. Andy has helped thousands retire, and his book is called The Very Best.
Hi, this is Andy Landis. Now you can master Social Security and Medicare. Learn more at andylandis.biz. That's andylandis.biz.
Here's amazing news from Solterra Systems. Install solar in your home right now and save 50 to 90%. That's right. Incentives cover 50 to 90% of your cost. Here's Amy Carpenter.
Go Solar and Washington State will pay you for all the energy you create, even if you use it in your own home. Get on the fast track to free energy with zero down financing. These incentives end soon, so call us today.
Call Solterra Systems for a free site assessment. 800-865-9005 or useyourroof.com. That's useyourroof.com.
Isn't it time you start getting what you want? I'm Jason Watacha, owner of Noble Ridge Construction, specialist in custom home building and remodeling. It's time to make yourself happy and create the home that fits your desires and style. That process starts by visiting us at NobleRidgeConstruction.com or follow us on Facebook to get inspired. You can also see featured custom lots available, architects, and signature series homes for sale by us. NobleRidgeConstruction.com. That's NobleRidgeConstruction.com. Dreams begin here.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Talk Radio 570 KBI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. I'm here to help you build a strong financial blueprint 1 week and one show at a time. All my focus right now is on our next guest or our first guest in studio. He's got his book sitting right here, and all of you in studio, we need to get those books because I tell you, Andy's awesome. I've had him in my show a few times. First time here since I started my new one on my own for the Money Hour. So, Andy, thank you so much for coming back in studio.
Thank you, Tina. It's great to be here, and don't you look fabulous today?
Oh, that's so sweet. Okay, I paid him a little tiny bit to say that, but it's looking all good. Andy Lattice, national known author, speaker, and consultant specializing in Social Security, Medicare, and retirement lifestyle planning. The wrong information causes poor retirement decisions. And today, Andy will give you straight facts on Social Security and top mysteries. Andy has worked since 1977 with pre-retirees and retirees at Social Security, AARP, Weyerhaeuser Corporation, and his own practice, Thinking Retirement. Through Thinking Retirement, Andy leads Social Security, Medicare, and retirement seminars for financial planners, CPAs, and Fortune 500 companies. And as I've mentioned before, he is an author of the book Social Security, The Inside Story, hailed as the best book on the topic. And When I Retire, A Guide to Design, I'm having a hard time talking today, A Guide to Design a Great Retirement Life. Both are available on Amazon, and they're sitting here in the studio, so I'm sure I'm going to get a copy today. Right, Andy?
Yeah, sure.
So, Andy, why don't you just go ahead and start us out? Start out with some background on Social Security.
Well, you said the key things. Everybody has to pay for it, but very few people know what they bought. And that kind of lack of information can make bad financial decisions. So we have to have some information. It is the largest source of retirement income in the U.S. by a factor of 2 to 1 over number two. And I like the way you talk about a financial blueprint. This is really the foundation of your financial blueprint. You've got to start here, whether you're talking about retirement security or mid-career, if you're doing any life insurance planning or disability insurance planning, you got to know what Social Security is going to pay.
And that's so true, Andy. And I think a lot of people, just like myself, and I'm not so much anymore because I've had a lot of conversations with you, so I'm a little more educated than I would have been if I did not have that privilege. But especially in the financial meltdown that we felt, a lot of people are out there, and I'm sure there's people listening to the show right now that are just wondering, is Social Security going to be there for me? I'm in my 40s, mid-40s, but I'm still in my 40s. And if I didn't know you, I'd be asking myself that question.
Well, if you tell me your birth date, I can actually give you the
April 26, 1968.
Okay. Social Security is actually more financially sound than what you hear from the media.
Mm-hmm.
If you project forward from where we are now, you have money to run the system at this level till 2033.
Okay.
Give everybody a minute to figure out how old we'll be in 2033. After that, you've got...
All the guests are writing it down right now.
Yeah, exactly. After that, you've got 77% of the money to keep it going. So we got to keep our kids and grandkids working to pay into the system. That means your worst case is we get all the way to 2033, Congress doesn't do anything, and then they decide all we're going to do is cut benefits. You're going to see a 25% benefit cut. So that's your worst case. So rather than think that it won't be there, if you're very pessimistic, go ahead and take the estimate you get from Social Security and cut it by 25%. That's kind of the worst it would be.
That's awesome, Andy. What great information, because there's a lot of people that just think it's going to be gone. Now, I need to ask you this. Do you think Social Security is a good idea?
You know, I do, for a couple of reasons. One, if you gave me my tax money back and told me you really should invest for retirement, I might do it.
Might
foul it up. It's kind of good that at least a little bit of my retirement is kind of taken care of for me no matter what I do. So it's kind of nice that there's a mandatory part. Also, if you look at it from a society point of view,
mm-hmm.
if you let 150 million workers do what they want to do with the money,
sure.
some of them are going to do better than Social Security, no question.
Sure.
But a bunch of them, I bet, would end up broke at retirement.
Yeah,
and we'd have to put them on a welfare program, which costs more to run than a Social Security program.
I totally agree. And I think that 25% worst case scenario is a lot better than 100% worst case scenario, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how is Social Security payments calculated?
Well, let me start by saying how it's not calculated.
Okay.
A lot of people think it's based on the best 10 years or your last 10 years. That's not true, but everybody believes it. It's based on your best 35 years of work. So really, it's sort of proportional to your lifetime contribution into Social Security.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that determines a 100% payment based on your full retirement age. If you take it earlier than that, as early as 62, it's reduced. But you can take it later than that, up to 70, and then you mm-hmm. get more. So some people are saying maybe we should treat 70 like the 100% payment instead of, say, 66 or 67. But kind of a different way to look at it.
Sure. So is there a strategy that we can use to maximize payments? Should they wait later or do it earlier? What's your advice?
Yeah, you know, some people are calling it the delay strategy. I'm not sure it's really a great name for the strategy. But really, on average, if you have average life expectancy or more, you'll get more from Social Security over your lifetime if you wait until 66 or even 70 to draw. And that's doubly true if you're married, because your spouse can also get the higher of your two Social Security payments after you're gone.
Got it.
That means if somebody can delay it and delay it till a higher payment, you're going to get more for two lifetimes, not just one.
So, Andy, what about some great tools that you can share with our listeners?
I've got two great ones. Well, beside my book, of course.
Of course.
On top of that,
go to Amazon, pick up both of Andy's books.
Thank you. On top of that, everybody should sign up for a My Social Security account at ssa.gov. And it's pretty simple. You get a bank statement. You get an investment statement. But they're not mailing out the Social Security statements anymore. So you go on and get your own account, and you can look at it anytime you want. You can email it to your financial advisor, share it with your friends. I don't know, but don't put it on Facebook, please. And also on Social Security, there are online calculators. So you got to have that online account. Even if you're already on Social Security, get that online account, because you can change your address, your direct deposit, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Right online from then on. So everybody,
and I like how you say share it with your financial planner. We've got an awesome one that spends a lot of time here in studio and actually works with a lot of my listeners. And yeah, definitely take that information and share it, because your financial planner is going to kind of map out your future and where you need to be, and is hopefully going to be able to fill in those gaps of where that income is lacking. So Andy, what about my family members? Are they going to mm-hmm. receive Social Security after I die?
even while you're alive or after you die, your spouse, possibly your former spouse, and any kids that are young enough or totally disabled as adults could get Social Security on your record. You need to know how that works, because that's going to be part of your whole financial picture
sure.
when you go to retire. Yeah.
So I know a lot of people have lost a lot of their investments. Again, you know, with everything that's happened in the market, we are seeing recovery. We're seeing recovery in the real estate market, the stock market. Interest rates are low. People are able to refinance. There's a lot of things that have helped from where it was when this first hit us. But what ways can you continue to work if they're in a position they've lost a lot of money and they need to continue working? How can they do that and still receive Social Security benefits?
Right. Well, there's two sets of rules for working while you get Social Security. One set of rules is for people over their full retirement age, which is currently 66.
Okay.
If you're over 66 and you have a work, no problem with Social Security. They will not take any of your payments away. In fact, the new work will probably increase your Social Security in the long run.
How does that work?
Well, it's pretty cool because it's based on your best 35 years, and if I'm working this year, maybe that's going to be one of my best 35, and
okay.
they redo the average every year.
Okay.
If I'm under 66, there's a problem, and the problem is they're going to take some of your Social Security away if you earn over $15,000 a year, which kind of is fair because it's for retirees, and you're
sure.
not really totally retired. So one way to handle that is just let it ride. Tell Social Security, hey, I didn't think I was going to work this year, but now I'm going to earn 25 or 35 or whatever it might be. Just give them a call, and they'll put that on the computer and make any adjustments needed.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
And Andy, how can our listeners file for Social Security?
Well, you got the old-fashioned way, the 20th century way, is to stagger into a Social Security office in any town, and you can sign up face-to-face.
Probably less people in line nowadays, right? Everybody's doing everything online?
I don't know. All us boomers are getting in line for that. The next way is you can call them. They have an 800 number. You can call it up to 12 hours a day and hopefully not get 12 hours of a busy signal. Or you know what? The new way is to do it all online.
Mm-hmm.
And in Washington State, we're number one in the states. We got 60% of people filing online. No hassle. You can do it pretty much any time of day. And there's even a little video online to tell you how to do it. So that's kind of the new way to do it.
Awesome. So, Andy, we're really talking a lot about Social Security today. But when can a listener enroll for Medicare?
That's interesting because Medicare age is still 65. They have not moved it up to 66 or 67 like Social Security.
Do you think you see that changing?
Every year Congress talks about stepping it up, but so far it's still 65.
Okay.
And we should sign up at 65, except there's a big exception. And the big exception is if you have health insurance from a current job, then you can postpone it. And it can even be your spouse's job if you're on their insurance. So in any case, here's everybody has to do this next step.
Okay.
And that is
call to action.
Yeah. As you approach 65, call Social Security to see if you're on the right track, whether you need to file or whether you can postpone it, and they'll walk you through the steps.
Got it. So I know the answer, but how important is it to get a Social Security estimate?
Well, I'd do it. You've got to plan for your future. You've got to
mm-hmm.
know what kind of numbers you're talking about.
Yep.
And it's going to be a big source of your income. So go ahead, get it, get that estimate. You can get it online now, like I said. Get a My Social Security account going. And definitely get that estimate and plan around it. Then you'll know how much you need to provide from savings, pensions, or other sources.
Okay. So, Andy, you said worst case scenario. If you didn't catch Andy's whole clip here today, worst case scenario, Social Security is not going to go away. They're not broke. You're going to get money. Worst case, take 25% away. Do you see that changing, Andrew, or do you think that's pretty safe? Because there could be listeners out there that, you know, they're years away from Social Security.
Right. And the younger you are, I think, here's the short answer.
Okay.
You know what Congress has to do to fix this. If
sure.
it was a household you were talking about that was going to run short on money 20 years from now,
mm-hmm.
what you do is tell them, you got to cut benefits. Or raise taxes. That's what
mm-hmm.
Social Security has to do. So Congress is going to do that, hopefully before 2033. That means younger people are going to pay more and get less out of it compared to past generations.
Got it.
Bad news.
Bad news. So, Andy, what other tips do you have for my listeners today?
Learn what you can get from Social Security. Get that online account going.
Mm-hmm.
Work with a financial advisor to make sure your savings are on track. And don't go around saying, It's not going to be there. It doesn't exist. There's no money behind it. It's been paying on time for 77 years.
Yeah. So here's my advice as your host and just an expert in mortgage, but I in doing radio, I really feel that I'm an expert in advice on building a wealth management team. Each of us has to have the right person for everything. You have to know what's going on with Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. You need to have a licensed expert in Social Security, your financial planner, and you got to be, I'm telling you, invest in real estate, because I'm telling you, the market is unbelievable. The cost to borrow is cheap and inexpensive, and it's the one of the best avenues for retirement, investing in real estate, and you need a mortgage. So we've got all of us in studio here. Pick up the phone, give us a call, 1-888-987-0570. Again, that's 1-888-987-0570. Pick up the phone. You can talk with any of my guests and get all your questions answered. Coming up next on the Money Hour, custom construction from the perspective of the Realtor, a Street of Dreams designer and a spec construction designer, and the market at large. Eric Erbel with RE/MAX Professionals is in studio right here after this short break on 570 KVI.
Wouldn't you just love to wake up in the morning to a panoramic view of Puget Sound? Waterview Point is your dream location in Pierce County, with front row unobstructed Puget Sound view lots, 1/3 acre to 7/10 acre, large level building sites designed wide to the view so you can see it all. Driveways accommodate rear load garages, and a city-owned wildlife corridor behind your lot gives you unheard of privacy. And it's all within walking distance to the kayak launch and walking trails in Point Ruston. From just $290,000 to $525,000. Waterview Point, your dream location in Pierce County.
Call Eric Herbel at RE/MAX Professionals, 253-988-6262. That's 253-988-6262.
Here's amazing news from Solterra Systems. Install solar in your home right now and save 50 to 90%. That's right. Incentives cover 50 to 90% of your cost. Here's Amy Carpenter.
Go Solar and Washington State will pay you for all the energy you create, even if you use it in your own home. Get on the fast track to free energy with zero down financing. These incentives end soon, so call us today.
Call Solterra Systems for a free site assessment. 800-865-9005 or useyourroof.com. That's useyourroof.com.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Talk Radio 570 KBI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. I bring in studio each week the best of the best experts in our local market on everything money. I'm here to help you in today's economy. And no shortage of the best of the best guests in studio. Our next guest is Eric Erbel with RE/MAX Professionals. Custom construction can give you just what you want in a home, but if you don't make the right decisions and work with the right people and understand how it comes together, it could actually be a costly mistake. So today, Eric is going to help you navigate through this process. Eric, thank you for joining me in studio.
Thanks for the invitation.
So Eric has 23 years in real estate. He's second generation Realtor and has worked 4 of the last 7 Pierce County Street of Dreams projects. That's pretty impressive. How exciting to be a part of that awesome community activity.
We need to have more of those shows.
We definitely need to. He helped design a home in the Street of Dreams and is RE/MAX Hall of Fame. So Eric, you definitely meet the criteria to come in and join me in studio and talk with our listeners, and just really happy for your topic today.
Thanks.
So Eric, in your experience, how does one get the very best value in new construction?
There's 3 organizing principles: finding value, reserving value, and building value. So finding value is all about the land, the building site.
Mm-hmm.
Reserving value is all about avoiding mistakes that can lead to unnecessary expenses. And building value is all about design and construction, choosing the most valuable option that doesn't cost you any more.
Okay. So tell us more about finding value in land. How do you do that?
Well, I'd first begin by saying that right now the value in real estate out there is in land. In this cycle that we've gone through, The biggest,
or the lack of land.
Well, but see, also in this cycle that we've just gone through, the land prices have come down even more than home prices have.
Wow.
And so it's an extra opportunity right now. And during this cycle, we lost a lot of builders from the marketplace, which are normally competing with us for buying vacant lots. So it's a special opportunity for, you know, for value in finding land.
Okay.
But if you're thinking about the process of finding land, the best thing to do is to get there the firstest with the mostest. That's kind of an old cavalry phrase.
That's a
which
tongue
means,
twist. Firstest with the mostest.
Right. It means you need to get there first, and you need to have all the men and resources when you get there. So in this particular case, in looking for land, what it means is when that piece of land comes on the market, you need to know about it immediately. Mm-hmm. You can't be finding out it 3 days later, 4 days later. You have to be finding it right away. And second, you need to have all of the resources available when that land comes on the market. So you need to be working with a local agent that knows those neighborhoods, knows those markets, knows the building code. So make sure that your realtor is extremely diligent in watching for those new land listings, and make sure that your realtor knows the market, the jurisdictions, building codes inside and out. So does she know the city planner where you plan to build on a first – does she know that planner on a first-name basis?
And you're saying she because your host is a she.
Right. Does has he sold or developed lots in the area where you plan to build? Has she spent hours and hours in the planner's office? Mm-hmm. Those kind of bits of local expertise are even more important in land than they are in regular housing. The key is knowing all the details, even before you find the lot, so that you can move quickly.
And, you know, it's just interesting that, you know, you wouldn't think that about land as much as you would going out. I mean, most people, or sometimes they have to learn it the hard way when you're going out and buying a home. And when your realtor says that when a home comes listed and it comes on the market, you've got to jump. And I think people are, you know, feel that and understand that easier. But to understand, it's the same with land, and it's even more important. And so you've got to be ready to move and move quickly.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, for example, if you're buying a home, your contingency might be a home inspection.
Okay.
And that's very commonplace, but now up in the King County market, a lot of times they're doing pre-inspections before they're even making an offer on a house.
Yeah.
And so your actual offer is not contingent upon inspection.
Sure.
Well, the same kind of thing works with land. If your agent knows that marketplace, knows the jurisdictions, height restrictions, zoning requirements, then sometimes you can waive some of those feasibility elements and maybe an offer that comes in at the same time as yours that has a long feasibility study in it. You don't have to compete with that. Might get the land where otherwise you might not.
Yeah, that's awesome advice. And what about reserving value? What does that mean?
Reserving value is all about avoiding mistakes and unnecessary expenses. So some of this is more general, like local building codes, CC&Rs, covenants, conditions, and restrictions. So what are the building height restrictions in the city or county in which you want to build? What are the setbacks when you design a building footprint? Are there additional height or design restrictions? Is there an ACC, an Architectural Control Committee? And some of this is more specific to a particular lot. Mm-hmm. So does the lot allow a driveway that would accommodate a garage in the back so that you can reserve as much space in the front for your view? And some of it is more about avoiding mistakes in architecture. So there's lots of tricks in the trade about architecture. In general, try to do your homework. Architects are a lot like attorneys. The most expensive attorney is the cheapest attorney, meaning you want the best man for the job, best woman for the job. Pay a little bit more for their expertise, and in the long run, it saves you money. And attorneys generally get paid by the billing hour. That's a lot like architects.
Okay.
So they don't get paid by the outcome. They get paid by the time you spend. So the more organized you can be up front, the better off that process works.
Sure.
The less billing hours that you spend with that attorney. So in this case, an architect. So organize all your design ideas in a notebook, save magazine photos, and now you can browse online for all of the different websites for floor plans.
Okay. And Eric, what about building value? Can you explain that to my listeners?
Building value is all about design and construction. So In this case, if you have a building site that you've already selected, spend time on the building site before you even begin the design process for the house for that lot. Mm-hmm. Because each lot has its own peculiarities, its own idiosyncrasies, and its own advantages. So, for example, take lunch, go spend time looking at the view corridors. Where does the sun come up? Where does the wind come from? Visit your lot during rush hour. Is there more ambient noise coming from one direction that you want to mitigate with some design features, fewer windows on that wall? Other things that are more general, like put the master suite on the main level, even if you don't need that right away, because in future value, that will always come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Take a powder bath that was in your original design, make it into a full bath instead of a powder bath. That way, that den or office that's on that level could be a full bedroom, guest bedroom in a pinch if you need it to be that way. Adding those extra fixtures at the time of design is hardly more expensive. Making those changes later is very
sure.
expensive. So.
And what about finding a custom builder? How does someone go about choosing the best of the best?
It starts with the natural things that you would think of immediately with just common sense, and that is call around, talk to the realtor that you're working with.
Okay.
They'll be able to give you recommendations for builders that are well-known and have a good reputation. But there's other things that you can do, too. If you're working in a small jurisdiction like Steilacoom, where I live and where I work, talk to the building planner and
mm-hmm.
see, do they know that builder? What's their reputation? Those kind of people have an independent opinion and will tell you the truth.
Sure. And it is always best. Your best resource for people you want to work with is by a personal endorsement or referral. Now, let's get back to the architect. Should that be your builder or is that going to be someone separate?
I prefer working with a builder who does his own design work as well, because
Reason?
They understand all parts of the process better.
Okay.
But you can also work with someone who has an independent architect. And there are also kind of the hybrids where they have the builder is there on staff, but they also have within their same company a separate architect.
Okay. And that's what I would see is not the builder not necessarily being the architect, but it's working within his team. So is there better a charge for that extra, or are they going to save money that way?
Almost always there's going to be a separate charge for design, no matter
uh-huh.
whether the builder is the designer or not. So you'll pay usually separate for that no matter what.
So what about some things to avoid, Eric, when it comes to new construction? Any tips that you have there for my listeners?
Some of the most important things related to design are some very basic principles. So, for example, when you talk to a builder, you should never ask the question, what is your price per square foot? Because if the builder tries to answer that question but doesn't know, do you want a tile roof? What is the price of your lot? Are you paying for permits? Then they're trying to guess at a number that's going to please you. A qualified builder, knowledgeable builder will just say, I don't know. I can't tell you what my price per square foot is. I need to know more about what you want to build.
Okay.
So that's a pre-qualification question for a builder.
Makes sense. It'd be like, what is your mortgage payment going to be? Well, it depends. It depends on what rates are. It depends on how much property taxes are, how much you're going to come in with for a down payment,
what
your credit
costs?
Is.
That's right.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what about how should a consumer evaluate the builder's price?
That's a good question. And it's the hardest question to answer in one simple sentence. But
okay.
a couple of general concepts that'll make it make more sense. If you can take the price of the lot out of the equation,
okay.
and then you're only talking about the construction, then price per square foot is a fairly valuable feature, a valuable factor in trying to decide. Second of all, if you understand that the larger the house is, the lower the price per square foot, then that's also something that makes a lot more sense. So, for example, if you're building a modest 2,000 square foot two-story
mm-hmm.
and you want to know what the price per square foot for that is, that's going to be higher because you still have a kitchen, you still have a building permit, you still have a roof, you still have a foundation. Take the same thing and put it into a 5,000 square foot home. You still have one kitchen, you still have one permit. And so some of those costs can be spread out. So the larger the house, the lower the price per square foot.
There you go. Build a big dream home and ultimately save a lot of money. Should you have the builder bid the project, or do I build on a cost cost-plus basis?
A lot of people think they're going to be saving money if they go on a cost-plus basis.
Okay.
But when you do that, you take the builder out of the equation. They no longer have an incentive to save you money by working with those vendors, right? So on the high-end custom jobs, a lot of times you'll go much more towards the process where it's just a cost-plus basis.
Okay.
But on the lower end, you really probably want the builder to commit to a total price for two reasons. One, you need to know what that price is going to be up front because you don't have a lot of maybe extra cash to work with. Second of all, you're probably financing it, and you need to know whether that's going to appraise or not.
Okay. And I know there has to be someone out there listening that's going, you know what? What if I'm my own general contractor? What's your advice there, Eric?
Lots of room for mistakes.
How did I know you were going to say that? So what if somebody just really want to do that? I mean, you're just totally discouraged against it.
Yes. I can give you a little anecdotal experience.
Okay. All right.
We did three lots in a row, View Homes in North Tacoma. In two of those, we sold the lots to a builder who built spec homes, and we designed the homes, built the homes, sold them right away. In fact, we sold them right in the framing stage.
Okay.
So even before they were finished, people were excited about the price, excited about the floor plans. The third lot we sold to a local mortgage broker who had been through the process before, kind of understood custom construction, but hadn't done it a lot before. When he did his own pricing, he estimated way low. He ended up spending about $50,000 more than that builder would have priced it if he had just bid it from the beginning.
Could be a huge mistake and cost a lot of money. So there you go. Eric, thank you so much for coming in and joining me in studio and sharing your expertise with my listeners.
Thank you.
Coming up next on the Money Hour, what you need to know about your taxes. Every year is a little bit different with all the constant changes. Greg Nunn, certified public accountant, and he is actually my own personal CPA. So really excited to have him right here on 570 KVI after this short break.
Are you tossing and turning and losing sleep because of anxiety with the IRS? Your tax problems can be solved, but you can't solve them alone. Gregory Nunn, a certified tax resolution specialist and certified public accountant, and his team are the rescue squad for troubled taxpayers. A client recently wrote, "Greg's team is extremely organized and efficient, and they truly care about their clients. Greg has a wide range of tax understanding and was able to manage and mitigate an IRS audit with a settlement for pennies on the dollar." If you're looking for a well-rounded and honest accountant, Greg is your man.
Hi, this is Greg Nunn, CPA. If you are losing sleep due to tax problems, please call Gregory Tax Resolution at 425-284-1933. That's 425-284-1933.
All tax problems are unique, and the outcome of each case can be very different.
Isn't it time you start getting what you want? I'm Jason Watacha, owner of Noble Ridge Construction, specialist in custom home building and remodeling. It's time to make yourself happy and create the home that fits your desires and style. That process starts by visiting us at NobleRidgeConstruction.com or follow us on Facebook to get inspired. You can also see featured custom lots available, architects, and signature series homes for sale by us. NobleRidgeConstruction.com. That's NobleRidgeConstruction.com. Dreams begin here.
This is the Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Talk Radio 570 KBI. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell. Each week, I share expert advice and inside knowledge on how today's events in our local economy can affect your money. And last guest in studio, Greg Nunn, certified public accountant at my own personal CPA. I'm just excited to have him sitting across the table here from me. Tax issues and how to avoid them. That's what we're going to talk with Greg about. And Greg has been practicing nearly 30 years. He is also a certified tax resolution specialist, the only one in the greater Seattle area. And I didn't even realize that, Greg. I'm working with somebody really, really special.
Yes,
I mean, I knew
you
were special, but that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Greg's been practicing nearly 30 years. He's also a certified tax resolution specialist, the only one in the greater Seattle area, which I didn't know. So I knew I was working with the best of the best, but
that's
really awesome, Greg. And his practice is located in Redmond, Washington, with the focus of his practice on being tax return preparation, tax planning, and tax problem resolution. Greg was recently awarded top practitioner by the American Society of Tax Problem Solvers. And really, that's what we're here to talk about is tax problem and how to solve them, or at least how to prevent them from happening. So again, Greg, thank you so much for spending some of your time here with me today.
Well, Tina, thank you very much for having me.
Bringing everybody in on a Sunday. So, Greg, I'm sure you see a lot of people doing things wrong. And how many people have tax problems? I mean, if you had to just come up with a number, how many of them are out there?
You will be very surprised how many people do have tax problems. About 1 in 15 have some kind of a tax issue with the IRS.
Wow.
About 1 in 60 have a serious tax issue with the IRS. And I know many of you out there have IRS anxiety. You go to bed at night worrying about those notices that you receive. And believe me, those notices will not stop.
Yeah, and I would think even if it's the 1 out of 15 that isn't really bad, anything when it comes to the IRS and the government, if you're not doing things right, it's a big, big deal.
It is. They're relentless.
So, Greg, if someone is listening now and has received a notice from the IRS, I hope nobody's listening that's received one, but it sounds like there's a lot of people that do. And if they are, what should they do about it? What can they do?
Well, first, I like to call these IRS notices nastygrams. You know, you go out to your mailbox, open it up, and there it is, this letter from the Internal Revenue Service, and it can be quite frightening.
Mm-hmm.
And my best advice are some things not to do.
Okay.
Think of the ostrich with his head buried in the sand and his posterior sticking out. Do not take the ostrich approach. A real good CPA friend of mine described a client of his that came in and said, "Hey, Larry, I have all these tax notices I've been getting." And Larry said, "Well, where have you been keeping them?" And he said, "Well, I've been hiding them in my underwear drawer because I don't want my wife to see them."
That's great, Greg. And we have your wife right behind glass here with our engineer today. So, Greg, what about the most common tax problem that you see out there? What is it?
The most common tax problem are people that haven't filed for 4 to 5 years. A lot of my tax resolution clients, that's their situation. They just haven't filed their tax returns. They're afraid to file initially because they may not have the money to pay the tax. However, the best thing you can do is file your tax return, even if you can't pay the money. Because when you do file, you can look at whatever tax you may owe and double it. And that will probably be the amount the IRS will be billing you for failure to file penalties,
wow,
late payment penalty, and interest. It can add up to a substantial amount of money.
So let's say a listener owes the IRS. The first step is to make sure they file and don't procrastinate and just get those stacking up because it's just making the problem worse.
Correct.
And what do they do if they owe money and they can't pay it?
Oftentimes, that is unfortunately the case. And there are solutions to that. Some of the simpler ones is beg, borrow, and steal from family, friends, and relatives, and you can receive their money and pay that over to the Internal Revenue Service. Not
okay.
A good option for many. There's three basic areas that a person can really employ to get their IRS problem solved. One of them is enter into an installment agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You can enter into an agreement and pay your taxes over like a 60-month period to the Internal Revenue Service. And there's some streamlined programs for that depending on how much money you owe, and that can go very, very well. Another one is the offer and compromise, and that is about being able to pay what you can afford, not what you owe. And this is a very, very good program.
So is it like modifying, like people are doing with their mortgages, they're modifying what they owe?
That's correct.
Wow.
I mean, I'm currently working with a taxpayer right now that the IRS says they owe about $300,000, and we might be able to settle
Jeez.
That for $20,000.
So when you're doing that, when you're taking the settlement approach, then you're paying it all at once. You're not taking a settlement approach and making payments.
You can have
wow.
a small payment period with an offer and compromise.
Okay. So any other, or those are the three ways?
Those are the three primary ways. There are some others, but they're less.
Okay. So, Greg, a lot of my listeners are married. I'm married, and you know my husband and I, and you know Dave. Dave is like the organized one between the two of us. And I actually don't have anything to do with our finances. I do mortgage for a living. I host a radio show. I'm a CPA of a mortgage software. But I don't have anything to do with our taxes. So if somebody makes a mistake, Greg, it's definitely going to be my husband. What happens if your spouse has tax problems? Just saying.
What commonly happens is you are married to a person that is doing all of the financial information themselves. Mm-hmm. They're pulling together all the information for the tax return, preparing the tax return, signing the tax return, and they might even be signing the spouse's signature on that tax return.
Dave doesn't do that for me, right?
No, he does not.
Okay.
Most definitely does not. And when that occurs, there can be the occasion where, again, this couple owes a ton of money to the Internal Revenue Service, mm-hmm. and they will come after both parties with vengeance. And if a person qualifies, they can qualify for innocent spouse relief, which basically is, hey, I did not have a clue as to what my spouse
works,
was
Greg?
Doing.
That works?
It can.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another thing a spouse can do is the IRS may separate the tax liability. That is, the husband will have his tax liability problems and the wife will have her tax liability problems. And then if you don't fit into either one of those categories, the IRS has a very gracious, yes, at times they can be gracious, solution called equitable relief. And that's a facts and circumstances situation, depending upon what may be going on in the family home, illness, spousal abuse, etc.
So it doesn't seem, I mean, in listening to your talk, and I've actually never sat down and had this conversation because everything that we talk about is personal in our own financial situation. But it sounds like the IRS is not the big bad guy out there. I mean, it's just you don't want to run away from it. There's solutions. If you've got an issue, they're going to help and work through these solutions.
You certainly don't want to run away from it. Mm-hmm. The best advice I can give regarding a tax problem is to face it, fix it. Sooner, not later.
Makes total sense.
Think of the dog chasing the car.
Okay.
The dog is chasing the car, but the dog never catches the car.
Yep.
The IRS will chase you, and they will catch you.
Yeah. And if you just try to work with them, it sounds like there's solutions to help. You can pay it or you can't pay. And if you can't pay it, coming up with a solution is ultimately what their goal is.
It is. And the IRS just wants people in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are working with them and being honest with them about your situation, they are more than happy to work with you.
So, Greg, what is an IRS levy and what can we do about them?
An IRS levy. Well, this is a person where they've probably received several notices from the Internal Revenue Service already. And
this person that didn't file for 4 years.
Yeah, this person that didn't file or hasn't paid their taxes, hasn't come up with a solution on how to pay their taxes. And what happens is you go out to the mailbox again and there's this certified letter.
Wow.
And that normally gets taxpayers' attention very quickly. And this little letter indicates, hey, we put a levy on your checking account and that levy will be for whatever amount up to what you owe that is in your account on the day the bank receives that IRS levy notice.
Okay.
After 21 days, that bank has to turn that money over to the Internal Revenue Service.
Wow.
But during that 21-day period, there's remedies that you can have to get those levies released. And there are ways to get them released.
Okay. So, Greg, what about an IRS lien? And what are some solutions to resolve them?
The IRS lien is kind of the big gorilla. This thing shows up on your credit report that you have an IRS mm-hmm. lien.
Which I've unfortunately seen before looking at credit reports.
You bet. A person goes to try to sell their home.
Yep.
And there's an IRS lien. They got to get that lien subordinated or released by the Internal Revenue Service or they will not be able to sell that house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or it could be that the buyer's going out there and they found their dream home.
Yep.
But again, the seller has the problem. They're unable to move the house because of an IRS lien.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're selling real estate, the IRS often will work with you to subordinate or get that lien released on that real estate, especially if they're going to be getting some money out of it.
Sure. again, I have to use myself as an example because you are my CPA, and we all have our own worries when it comes to the IRS, and we pay our taxes, so everything's all good there. But I always, even though I know Dave is so organized, I still worry about an audit because there's like so many things. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff going on in our taxes, and there might be a mistake that was accidentally made. What do you do if you're audited, and should people be afraid of those audits if they're doing everything right, or they think?
If you're doing everything right, there is no reason to fear an audit. In real estate, it's often said, what are the three most important things? Location, location, and location.
Okay.
In...
Is it receipts, receipts, receipts?
It's not receipts, receipts,
oh,
receipts,
dang.
But it is document, document, document. Okay. Make sure you have a receipt or a description for every expenditure that you have. Avoid commingling personal funds with business funds. It can just be a mess if you're doing that with your own business.
Yeah. And you know, Dave, our first year, he brought in that box with all of those receipts, and then you taught him how to actually put everything organized in an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, the proverbial shoebox, but this was actually
it's huge.
A banker's box.
I told Dave it'd probably be organized. You'd get it organized. That way it'll actually cost a little bit less once we get to Greg's office.
I still have some clients that bring in a shoebox.
Yeah, well, you guys take care of it regardless. So what are some, I mean, this is really, really great information, Greg, for listeners. And I think what I'm hearing from it is you know, don't procrastinate. Don't hold things back. If you've got an issue, be up front, get things taken care of, talk with an expert, and figure things out because they're going to work with you. What other tips do you have for my listeners?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the IRS audit.
Okay.
If you are sued, you will get an attorney to help you defend yourself against a lawsuit.
Okay.
Think of that same thing if you have an audit occurring.
Okay.
The worst thing you can do is represent yourself in front of that IRS personnel. Because I tell you, they have ways to ask questions and kind of get information out of you that you just weren't thinking about.
Okay.
And so you got to be very cautious. And I see we're running out of time. If you have tax problems, I really recommend work with someone local. Mm-hmm. Try to avoid the national advertisers.
Yeah, awesome advice. If you're listening, please pick up the phone, 1-888-987-0570. I have amazing gentlemen in studio on a lot of great things. And if you want to talk with any of them, give the show a call, or you can visit us on themoneyhour.com. And that's it. The day goes by so quickly. The hour is up, but no worries. I'll be back here next Sunday, same time, same place, right here on 570 KVI. And thank you. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Bye, everyone.
Here's amazing news from Solterra Systems. Install solar in your home right now and save 50 to 90%. That's right. Incentives cover 50 to 90% of your cost. Here's Amy Carpenter.
Go Solar in Washington State will pay you for all the energy you create, even if you use it in your own home. Get on the fast track to free energy with zero down financing. These incentives end soon, so call us today.
Call Solterra Systems for a free site assessment. 800-865-9005 or useyourroof.com. That's useyourroof.com.
The preceding program was paid for by Absolute Mortgage, a division of Pinnacle Capital Mortgage Corporation. Absolute Mortgage Company, NMLS number 81395 and Washington CL number 81395 is an equal opportunity housing lender. Tina Mitchell, MLO number 145420 is a licensed loan originator with Absolute Mortgage. Visit absoluteloans.com or call 888-90-HOMES for cost information.